Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
ESPN 690 and Action Sports Jax presents Brent and Friends with Brent Martineau.
We're going to have to show a little more patience than the year two pom-pom people.
Casey Kurtz.
Yo! Well, what are we doing, bro? Come on!
And Aaron Schachter.
I'm all in favor of these two showing their love and really celebrating their relationship.
This is Brent and Friends with Brent Martineau, Casey Kurtz, and Aaron Schachter on Jacksonville's home for ESPN Radio, ESPN 690.
All right, I got one more for you, football at five. You see that? Powerball's like $1 billion?
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking of this today. You know, everybody's always like, what would you do with it? What would you do with it? I don't know what you'd do with all of it. Yeah, donate to charity, all this stuff. I'm sure you would. I'm sure you guys would.
You're shooting a charity.
I don't know who you're talking to. But I'm never going to say that.
You might want to. It might be safer, by the way. You don't need all that money.
I saw Action News Jax like share stuff out, and they're like, well, how much taxes would you pay? I don't give a damn how much taxes I would
not
pay.
Not even thinking about it at that point.
Like, really, I don't.
You never think about taxes ever again. Yeah,
I don't care. Like, they can have half of it.
Take it.
All right? Oh, put it towards something good.
Still sleeping on a bed of cash.
But Brent Martineau, Aaron Schachter, Casey Kurtz. But I will say, what would be like something just crazy that you would buy? I was thinking of that today. I'm like, can I buy something that it shows I just won $1 billion,
giraffe,
and I don't care how you think about it?
I would. I can't.
No, I would. Don't. I would buy a giraffe.
Giraffe is a good one, yeah, because it's not like a lion thing. Is good. Yeah.
The problem is the exotic animal deal is like you're still going to go take care of it, man.
But you hire someone else to take care of it.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And like, how baller would it look if like your guy was walking your giraffe every day? It's like you see the lady with the chow, and you see the lady with the basset hound, and you're like, yeah, this is my giraffe. Just keep walking. All the kids are running up to you. You're the coolest guy in the neighborhood, you know.
I don't know. Like, do you have to have an exotic animal if you have a ton of money? Like, it feels like.
Well, you got to buy something rare that you could show off to everyone. You got to flex on everybody. So it's got to be something you can pull out there and everyone goes, whoa.
Yeah.
Is that a giraffe?
Yeah.
That is kind of a whoa.
Yeah.
That is. That's kind of whoa-like.
There's a slight probability you inherited a fancy car, but you're not inheriting a giraffe.
No.
You're going out and buying that thing. Like a hippo on like one of those pit bull collars? I would do that.
We've gone to the animal guard. I don't even own a dog or a cat. So I doubt I'm going to go get the giraffe.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm really struggling to find out what I'm going to
do. On the bright side, like, you can't keep the giraffe inside, so you do have that going for you. You got to worry about the shedding.
Keep it right outside.
Keep him outside.
In the back. Think the HOA would have a problem with it?
You could buy the HOA.
That would be worth it.
There you go.
That would be good. You know what?
Move, right? You wouldn't live in the neighborhood still.
No, well, no. You own the neighborhood now.
I was thinking this the other day. You know, so Musk bought Twitter for like $44 billion?
Yeah. Mere bag of shells.
And so should I know this?
So we couldn't buy Twitter.
But no, we couldn't buy Twitter. That's not enough. But I was thinking.
We get like MySpace?
Like, how do you buy something for $44 billion? Like, how does the transaction take
place? Yeah, I think that's a weird, like, thing that. No, it's really? Not. No, it's like a legit question. A like, they had to go to court to figure it out. But he didn't have. It's not like he had cash on hand. He was getting money up.
I was going to say, like, so do you pay it over 20 years?
Yeah, I don't think it's like it all gets paid now thing. But at the same time, if you are paying other people to get out, maybe it is. Maybe that's where the investors come in.
That's a crazy down payment.
Yeah. But well, that was like, part of the problem for him is the reason supposedly he was dragging his feet so much. He was saying the bots, but all the other people were writing is because he didn't have the capital he thought he had. And then the stock market was in a little bit of trouble, and suddenly he needed investors.
Oh, so that was like that was kind of part of the conversation.
That's what.
Because he's worth like $220 billion or something.
Yeah,
right?
But you know, that's like paper worth.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, no, that's different. And so I was thinking, it's like, all right, if I own Twitter and then Musk pays me $44 billion, do I automatically become like the 14th richest guy in the world?
Maybe. I mean, that's what happened to Jeff Bezos' ex-wife.
Yeah, she kind of climbed that ladder.
Well,
right?
She because became she the richest female in the country and like the third richest person in the country because she took half of the wealth. But the wealth is only just assumed based on how much Amazon is worth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like if the market cratered, then obviously it's not worth it. That's like Kanye. Kanye supposedly lost $1 billion last week. Well, no. He lost some deals with Adidas that had the potential to make him $1 billion.
Yeah. We don't factor that in sometimes. Yeah. My net worth is going down as the housing value goes down is what you get now.
Yeah, just a little bit.
It's like a little bit, whatever that net worth even is.
Man, I'm waiting on it. Keep going. I'm renting right now. We need to get out of this rental and into a real deal. Looking for this.
You're rooting for it.
Looking for the bottom.
I know. Just thinking of that the other day, I was like, man, $44 billion transaction. That must be something.
That's something. I'd like the receipt for that.
Lawyers.
Do you think it's like a CVS receipt, though, that it's like 4 feet long?
why does CVS still have that long receipt?
So insane.
Why? Like, I thought we were trying to save paper.
Dude, I thought, like, it's become a joke, right? But I was in there last week for cards. It was.
Of course you were.
No, seriously. It was my wife's birthday. A couple of weeks ago.
Make her one.
What are you, Casey? I don't make nothing. Anyway, so we're in there. Me and the kids were buying cards.
Threw it out 3 minutes later.
Comes back to the card somehow.
He leaves it on the table. I threw it out. But in any case, I get this receipt back, and you'd think it was like the red carpet at like the Oscars. It was the longest receipt I've ever seen in my entire life. You could have papered the entire house with it.
Publix does it too, I think, right?
Yeah.
They kind of have a long one.
I think CVS, you can buy three things, and it's still 8 miles.
Because they give you all these coupons on the back.
For stuff that you would never, ever buy.
It's like, guy, I'm not a lady with liver spots on me. I'm not using your coupons.
Or it's like 50 cents off something that costs $84. It's like, oh.
Yeah, man. That is, all right, let's go back to football. Sorry. I just had the $1 billion question. Quite frankly, you guys didn't answer it good enough for me.
Nope,
I want an economist to answer how we make that transaction.
I will book a guest tomorrow to tell you.
Brent Martineau, Aaron Schachter, Casey Kurtz. All right. Josh Allen.
Doing it right now. He's booking.
I'm booking a guest, yeah.
Josh Allen, Casey Kurtz. What did you say about him?
I got to
go. You keeping him or you trading?
I got to go at all costs. No, listen. I dove into some of the numbers in terms of what other guys have recently been paid that pay his position and how they perform, right? And I looked at his draft class as well. And the numbers that I come to. Now, if you ask, like, SportTrack, his approximate value they think he's going to get is $18.5 million a year. There is no chance nor situation at his current stats are they going to pay Josh Allen $18.5 million.
I would agree with that.
Here's the number.
Without even looking.
Here's the number I settled on. Somewhere between $10 and $13 million. You got guys that get paid $10 million. Sam Hubbard's one of those guys. Josh Allen has those stats and more. But you got a guy like Preston Smith getting $13 million. He's not quite there. So I'm feeling somewhere in that range is fair for the Jags to pay. But if you're Josh Allen, you're not taking that because Randy Gregory just got $14 million.
Yeah.
And he has horrible stats, right?
Yeah,
well, not horrible, but because, worse than Josh Allen.
Just because you think it's fair doesn't mean that like that's going to be what the going rate's going to be.
Right, but I'm saying it's bad business for the Jags to pay a guy with worse stats than these other guys. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to see where he falls in line with his actual production.
Okay.
And I wouldn't sign if I was Josh, right? Because you can get more on the open market. We just
way
saw
more.
It. Mm-hmm. But the point of it is if that number comes around between 10 and 13, let's just say on the high side it is 13, right? And they feel good about it. That's, you know, whatever. I wouldn't sign it if I was Josh. So I put in the article, they're going to run into a Yannick Ngakoue situation. So if you're not comfortable paying the guy 18 and a half, whatever they think he's going to ask for, then you move him now and you get something for him.
Yeah. Can you do one more thing? And maybe you did it as I was sharing your article. What are, like, the top guys in the league getting? Forget about his comps.
Yeah.
Top 10 pass rushers salary.
So I had it all day. But, like, I didn't even compare him to those guys because it's, TJ Watt.
Well, I get that. But what happens is agents look at that. And when you reset, you know, you might not reset the market, but it'll fall in line as somebody else who, like Max Crosby.
Yeah, so
Max Crosby, I mean, you might say he's more productive right now, but I don't know if a team going to get a guy like Josh Allen at 25 years old or 26 years old is going to see that much of a difference between Max Crosby and him.
Max Crosby's in my article. Max Crosby gets 23.5 AAV.
Okay. And that seems like a lot.
He has significantly better stats.
Significant? How's he doing this year?
this year, still better.
Because the Raiders suck.
Yeah, I mean, still better, but I looked at it kind of overall. Here's the number you want, right? T.J. Watt, $28 million a year, AAV.
Okay, he's on a different
show. Joey Bosa, 27.
And, you know, he is, too, even the last couple
Khalil
of years.
Khalil Mack, 23.
Yeah, and he's getting paid for past performance. He's done.
But here's a guy I looked at in the article, Harold Landry for the Titans. His AAV is 17.5.
Yeah.
And, like, I know you're thinking Harold Landry. What the heck? The numbers are speaking
good. His numbers are good. Yeah. Yeah, no, I know it. He's a good player for them.
Daniil Hunter is getting 14.5, which is severely underpaying him, by the way. They'll tear that thing up and pay him more. Randy Gregory's getting 14. And, again, with numbers nowhere near as good. But it was signed this year. Shaq Barrett signed last year for 17.
How about, like, a Trey Hendrickson deal?
So I started to look at Trey Hendrickson, and the numbers just, like, it felt unfair to me to comp Josh Allen there, but it's like 15, I believe, is what the number was.
It is, but I mean, what are you saying? Hendrickson's outperformed Allen?
Yeah, I'm saying that if you ask Pro Football Focus and you ask Pro Football Reference, they have a completely different definition of a quarterback hurry and a quarterback pressure.
Okay.
If you ask Pro Football Focus, everybody has like 814 in the league, and if you ask Pro Football Reference, everyone has like 11. So I didn't think it was a fair thing to make. But if you took the numbers that were available, Trey Hendrickson blows him away.
Okay. So, and again, what Casey's doing here is saying, when are you going to – here's the thing. They've got a fifth-year option on.
They do.
So it doesn't – they don't have to do anything.
They don't, but they could get out ahead of this.
They could. But is that smart? Because there are some things that aren't tangible on the number side. And first of all, it's not like he's been a bad player.
No, he's been not right, a bust. This is his best season for the Jaguars based on, like, three different sites that track player stats on game-to-game. And now, granted, he's had a bad last few games. But
well, it's not even bad. It's just that he's not been good enough. Like, well, he's not making enough plays, one more play. But I will tell you this. Like, on the Arden Key sack, I think Josh Allen helped force that sack.
This is what I said to Casey, you know what I earlier. Mean? I was like, you're not seeing the sack numbers or the hurry numbers you want to see, but you can't then say that Arden Key and DeJuan Smoot are getting the quarterback that has nothing to do with Josh Allen.
I think it has a lot to do with that. The only thing I would say is, why isn't Trayvon Walker getting there more because mm-hmm. of Josh Allen? Mm-hmm. Or why isn't Josh getting there more because of Trayvon Walker? I think, listen, my disappointment, I love Josh. I'm a big fan of Josh. Everybody knows that, so I'm not going to hide that. But I think my biggest criticism of Josh was like yesterday's game. Go make the finishing play. You know, he almost did it against Indianapolis. He forced the ball that went in the air and nobody could pick it. Like, he kind of he did his part and then nobody was around to pick it. Like, it just fell in no man's land. But that's what I'm talking about. Like, make the play that seals the deal. Make that Von Miller-esque play. And you're not going to do it every game. But that's what the good, good, great ones do. T.J. Watt does that.
Yes.
Right? And that's why he's getting paid $28 billion, by the way. And Josh Allen doesn't have to be T.J. Watt. But I think Josh Allen, you want him to be like a top 15, top 12, top 10 kind of guy in the NFL. And then you're willing to give him the money. And he just hasn't got there yet on a consistent basis. He shows flashes of being it. I mean, he is in the top 10 in the pressure thing. Pressures have really become like the stat now that everybody latches onto. And I think it's a little dangerous because what does it look like? And Josh has been there, and I think the pressures mean something there. He's always good against the run too, but I think you still have to make the impact play that my eyes tell me just as much as the stats might tell me. And he hasn't done that enough.
This is where Pro Football Focus and Pro Football Reference divert from each other and what equals a pressure or a hurry. It depends on how you read the quarterback getting out of the pocket. But, Casey, back to your point about what the Jags should or are willing to pay this guy as a free agent. Mm-hmm. Do you think he's more valuable to the team than Aluakin?
I think that you could answer that in this way, which I will. And I put this in the article. Josh, he's got three right now, right, in the sack department. So, comfortably, let's just say he gets to 7 or 8. I believe you can find a guy to get you 6 to 8 sacks a year. I think it can be done. But to answer that question, I would say Aluakin.
But for weeks now, and certainly today, we've been talking about what kind of leader the guy is, not just on the field, but in the locker room. The fact that he wants to be in this city, and we are at a deficit of players who want to be here in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Isn't that worth anything to you when you talk about signing a guy long-term?
I hear the point, and I respect it. But do you get extra salary cap money for good teammates?
But no, you build it into this contract. Brent, what do you got?
No, yeah, I think Casey brings up a good point because he took the emotion out of it, right? But that's part of this story with Josh. You can't do what Maurice Jones-Drew said, what Rasheen Mathis said, what this organization has done is give away good players. He's a good player. Is he a great player? Probably hasn't reached that status yet, but he's still a young, good player. And he does want to be here. And he is a leader, and he has been through it. And I'll give you what I think is you still have a chance to see the greatness in him if you either extend him or keep him around. Like, he should not be traded. And in any situation, he should not be traded tomorrow. He shouldn't. Like, it's not even – it shouldn't even be a conversation. He should play out his fifth-year option at this point, and then you decide where his numbers are and his stats are, and maybe it's halfway through the year and you pay him. Or if you do want to pay him early, which I suggested even this year, you get more of a bargain by doing that because he doesn't have the resume that T.J. Watt or Khalil Mack or Myles Garrett or even a Max Crosby has that's going to go warrant $18, $19, $20 million. So if you can work out a deal that favors the organization, well, that's kind of part of doing business. You're taking a little bit of a gamble. But the Jags need more guys that they picked, they developed, they kept. They've had a little bit of they developed, they didn't keep. And you can't keep running guys off like that. The Jags did it with Cam Robinson. Good job. What are they going to do with Juwan Taylor, who's maybe playing the best out of any offensive lineman they have? Like, you can't keep shipping guys away that you drafted because you value this damn pick so much. And then go see you later. We got you for 4 years. No, you want that guy for 8 years. That's the idea.
I mean, I'm trying to find a guy that the Jags drafted who's highly paid on this roster, who they've kept for a while, and it's slim pickings at
Cam
the top.
Robinson.
That's
Robinson.
It. That's the whole ball game.
That's it.
I mean, yeah, I understand it. And again, I'm not sitting here. I would like them to keep him, but I'm just saying it doesn't make, in my mind, when you look at the numbers, you can't pay him $18 million. I would be a fan. If they offered him a 4-year, $52 million contract right now, I think that would be the best move they could make.
Well, I do too, and that's why I brought up the
13.
Yeah, I know, but
that you saw my,
no, I saw you working.
But I brought up the Trey Hendrickson or even the Hassan Reddick deal. Look, it's like 15 for 45, 15 for 60.
13 ain't going to get it done. Not for Josh Allen.
Well, then you let him play it out, but you offered him that. Like, you still got another year.
You make the offer.
And then you can decide to pay him even more next year.
Okay. Great.
But you don't trade him.
No.
You can't trade Josh Allen.
Bad idea.
You want to talk about a locker room that's going to be scratching their head? Is if they trade Josh Allen. I don't care really, but they're not. First of all, nobody's giving you 2 ones or anything like that for Josh.
They're not going to be giving you 1-1. They
probably
just
not.
Got Raquan Smith for a 2.
2 and a 5.
2 and a 5. You're
now
not
his
getting
age
2 ones.
Is different now. His age is.
You're not getting 2 ones for Josh Allen.
But that's the other part of this, right? So I put in there the Brian Burns part of it. Who knows if that's true or not? Brian Burns has been a better player, so 2 ones makes sense. I'm just saying, if somebody calls you up with a 1 and something.
But did 2 ones even make sense for Brian Burns? Because no one came to the table.
Brian Burns is a good player.
Okay, but no one was willing to come
off
of it.
No. There was reported that they were offered 2 ones, and the Panthers said no.
Oh, I thought the report was they were offered a 1 and they were looking for 2.
It was told they were offered 2 ones and they said no, which is mind-blowing to me. But to that point, Aaron, again, if they're not going to go for it, I guess, I would try to get Burns before I would try to get Josh Allen. He's been better.
Okay, there are better players than Josh Allen, but the reality is he's here. You don't want to trade him away when you got him locked. Well, you don't have him locked, but you could.
But they might not.
And by the way, like, $15 million is going to be a bargain by the time you come to the table with this guy if you're not going to sign him early.
But, okay, let's just say that it is 15, right, which I think is overpaying, and unless he goes off, right, to build that resume. But you're already over the cap for next year as it currently stands.
Yeah.
And I know that they got the option locked in, right, so you're good there.
Mm-hmm.
But you're over the cap going forward. And, you know, play it out another year and see where you're at with the quarterback, because you got a situation to make there, too. How many – you got Christian Kirk on the books. How many of these guys can you pay?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to juggle some things around, but you can do that. We've seen it. It's fake. You know, you can you can only go so far, but you can figure that out. And, you know, we'll see how they figure that out. But, again, you have to use – right now the organization has to be smart about it and say, we have the power here. We have a fifth-year option. We can use it. and we're going to use it, and we're going to see where it goes. Like, that's what I would do if I was the organization, because I haven't quite seen enough. Now, if he turns it on the last nine games and he balls out and he's got 14 sacks, I might take care of that thing now, because I do think Josh Allen, what you do with his situation impacts the locker room. That's one of those, the locker room's looking at it. Like, I think the locker room's looking at Josh Allen.
Rasheem was telling us they absolutely are. Here's a guy who, by the way, hasn't been in the league for 15 years, but is absolutely a mentor to some of these young guys in that locker room. He's been there.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Did the Jags, almost tried to pay Jan years ago, right?
Yes.
And by the way, the Jags won that deal, didn't they, by not paying Jan, by that thing fizzling out? Jan wasn't worth $20 million a year.
On another team, but he was trending that way on this team. He looked real good on this team.
I'm just saying, Jan's been productive.
Yeah.
But he's an 8-sack guy that wanted $20 million a year, or 19 or 20 or 21, whatever it was, the numbers, and the Jags wanted to pay him 17 or whatever, maybe even less, some people say, however that all shook out. Well, Jan's on a $20 million guy.
No, not right now, no.
The Jags actually benefited from letting him go, given the situation and the dollars it would have cost.
But you just said it. He was an 8-sack guy, and they shouldn't have paid him $18 million a year.
So he's an 8-sack guy that can't stop the run.
So who wanted $20 million a year 4 years ago or whatever?
So if Josh is an 8-sack guy, what should they pay him?
15 to 20.
Well, no. I mean, I'm with you, by the way. I just said Trey Hendrickson, 15 for 60, right? I mean, it's a 4-year deal.
Right.
You do is here's what you do. And this is what Jan was going to do, and I think wanted to do. Wanted to do like a 3-year contract.
Yeah,
because he was 25. And so then you could do what kind of Calais did, and you go get a third contract, right? And guys have done that now. Well, I was just trying to find out how old. I can't get away from Josh Allen, the Bills guy.
Josh is 25.
Josh, 25. So, and he just turned 25.
That's so young.
So you go give him a 3-year deal, and he's going to be 26, 27, 28. Well, then he goes and performs, and now he can make even a monster deal at 28 that T.J. Watt has or somebody else has. Mm-hmm. So that's my point. You don't have to invest in this thing for the next 7 years. I give him a 3-year deal and be like, look, you're going to go get paid more. If I'm Josh's agent, that's what I want.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go get a 3-year deal for $45, $50 million, whatever it is.
Guarantee 60% of
Guarantee
it.
Guarantee a bunch of it. And then at 28, when I'm at 50-something sacks in my career, hopefully, I'm going to go get a blockbuster one for somebody else, or the Jags are going to pay me and keep me here.
And then underperform for the rest of the contract.
Well, I mean, no, but Calais didn't underperform.
Sure.
Calais had three contracts, man.
It does feel like that's the exception to the rule most of the time.
I don't know. I mean, but I think you're seeing pass rushers do that more because they can really still be very productive at the pass rusher position at 31, 32, sometimes even 33 years old.
Look, Von Miller's 32. He's productive.
Yeah. So, one other thing on this while we're on defense, and then we got to go. But DeJuan Smoot, man, needs to play more.
You must have read the article.
DeJuan Smoot played, according to, I think John Shipley here did this article, is 21 snaps yesterday. Mm-hmm. And now, Arden Key and DeJuan Smoot played the fewest amount of snaps of the Jaguars' defensive line, but combined for 5 of the Jags' 8 quarterback hits and 2.5 of their 3 sacks. Now, there's something to said for being fresh. And I also think Key and those guys benefit from Allen being in the game. But I don't care who's in the game and who you're paying and who you drafted. I'm looking at production, and I watch this guy play now for 3 years plus, 4 years plus, and the guy produces. And in 21 snaps, I feel like I saw 91 more than I saw anybody else on the defensive side. And Arden Key was up there, too. Arden had a really nice game. Since the preseason, Arden hadn't really done that much. But he really showed up yesterday. And Smoot, though, I'm telling you, this is week after week. When he is in the football game, I feel like 91 makes an impact play. I got to play him.
And, yeah, I put that in what I just wrote, right? So this will be – he's trending for a fourth straight season of over 5.5 sacks. He had 5.5 once, then he had 6, 6, and 6. And he's only played – he's never played more than 65% of snaps in a season, right? So to that point, he's not on the field as much. But that's what I'm saying, Brent. There's a guy right there who 6 sacks, you let him play more, he might get up to 8 or 9. And now you're not paying that guy $15 million, but you want the same output. You're getting the same output maybe from Josh Allen. You want to pay him $15 million. Doesn't make sense.
I say this, Casey, but you go ahead and see. And again, I'm sitting here in the corner of DeJuan Smoot. But show me DeJuan Smoot without Josh Allen. and see if he's as productive. That's my point.
Like, but he spent like a whole year without him when Josh was hurt.
Okay, so he played more snaps that year, right? He had a good year. But I'm just saying he makes the most out of his snaps in part because teams are also got to be aware of Allen and Trayvon Walker right now. And so I know I'm kind of being a little bit I'm just saying I think he should play more because he's productive. But he's also in there on mostly just passing situations because they bring that NASCAR package in. And so, I mean, those are the it's third and 12, right? Or third and eight, or those are the when you're going to kind of get sacks. So I don't think it's apples to apples to say I can get DeJuan Smoot to have eight sacks and pay him far less money. I think he needs the other guy that's out there too to wreak some havoc, and you need more of him. He's not DeJuan. That's not a negative on DeJuan Smoot. All of these guys do. You need four guys disrupting things so they can all eat. Quite frankly,
yeah. And by the way, this is I think the difference between a company like Pro Football Reference and Pro Football Focus is that Pro Football Reference, when we're looking for stats, is a good place to go. They're going to keep tallies. But Pro Football Focus, with their player grades, does player comparison grading. And they're looking at every single play on the field, whether you logged a metric or not. And when they're looking at it in that way, you got Josh Allen with the highest rating for the season on the Jaguars. He's their highest rated player. He's the 12th highest ranked defensive edge. So you're sitting here going, well, he doesn't have the sacks. And like, you're right. Certainly not of the 10 sack, 10 and a half sack, whatever that was a couple of years ago. But the guy is creating opportunities for the rest of this defense.
Where's Bosa on that?
I'll look it up.
Joey.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
Because I said this last
week. He's been hurt. He's probably not that high up there.
Joey Bosa. How he's missed two games or something?
I thought it was a couple. I could be wrong.
Because I saw something. I thought I saw last week when we were talking about this that, like, they were pretty in the same neighborhood. Now, Bosa was ahead because Bosa had that one. Remember, he had that one game. He had like 14 pressures or something. But so that really skewed the numbers. But overall, they were in the same neighborhood. The difference was Bosa had seven sacks and Josh Allen had three sacks.
Yeah, he's played three games this year.
Yeah.
He had seven sacks in three games.
He went out in the Jags game.
No, he's got two sacks on the season.
No, I'm talking. I'm sorry.
You're talking Nick.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I meant Nick.
Which was the only pass rusher picked higher in the same draft as Josh Allen.
Yeah. Yes. So Nick Bosa's delivered. He's really good, obviously. Yes. But I think his numbers, the what we're waiting for Josh Allen is to get to that seven sack number halfway through the year.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And now they're probably more loaded on that defense. But still, you think Nick Bosa, even if he was on Jacksonville, probably would get seven sacks. I think Josh is doing all those other things that Nick Bosa is doing. Doing a lot of those things. Checking a lot of those boxes. He's just got three sacks instead of seven. And I think we would feel so much better if he had seven. Or if he would, at the end of the game yesterday, go cause a strip sack fumble on Russell Wilson to close the game.
That's what I think is really missing for fans on Josh Allen is like, his name being called on the other side of a monster play to save the game or to win the game or something like that.
And by the way, this is Trayvon's problem right now, too. I mean, Trayvon now has three sacks and an interception this rookie year. Is that bad? Not too bad after eight games. He's on pace for six sacks. I think anybody would take 6 to 8 sacks for Trayvon. Remember, he only had 9.5 in his whole college career. And he's doing some good things down the field and in the run game. But it's just doesn't feel like it's impactful. It's not closing games out.
Yeah.
Like, your number one overall picks the last 2 years are really not making plays to win you football games right now. That's one of the problems in Jacksonville right now. Those guys sooner or later have to make you plays to win games.
Yeah. So Nick Bosa graded at an 89.9. It's extremely high for Pro Football Focus. Mm-hmm. Fifth defensive edge in the league.
And Josh is 12th?
Josh is 12th.
And what's his number?
His number is like a 83. His number is at 83.3.
But again, I mean, that's not that much separation.
No, it's we all think Nick Bosa is unbelievable. Right on top of each other.
And Jacksonville, some of you fans want to trade that guy away? That's seven spots lower than Nick Bosa? I don't know about that now.
It's because he's not racking up the sacks.
I look at the Nick Bosa numbers, and I see 10 more sacks in five less games.
Over his career.
In his career.
In his career, yeah.
With a much, much better defense that he played alongside.
Well, I think Nick Bosa's a better player, but I was really more going off this year. Like, you're asking what kind of year Josh Allen's having. But I would say Nick Bosa probably has a few closing plays that have impacted and changed the game more than Josh Allen. Again, I think that's what he's missing. I think that's what a lot of this freaking roster is missing. Make me a play that wins a football game. Not too many people are doing that for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's why they've lost five in a row. We'll be back. Football at 5, Brent and Friends on ESPN 690. Welcome back, everybody. Football 5, Brent Martineau, Aaron Schachter, Casey Kurtz. We had Maurice Jones-Drew on. We had Rasheen Mathis on. We had a lot of passionate discussion today. Josh Allen, I like this. By the way, ESPN690.com, place to go for Casey's article about Josh Allen. And again, I think Casey's article was less about trading him and more about where he fits in from a dollar figure standpoint in the rank of others. Now,
that, you had to get people to click on it.
Well, that could mean trade him, though, because if you feel like you're not going to pay him or you're not going to be able to pay him at some point. But the bottom line is the organization holds some power here. They've got the fifth-year option.
Yeah.
So at least they have that. And I think a lot of people in Jacksonville feel strongly about, okay, we can debate how good Josh Allen is, and we can do that all day. But he is at least in the good category of players for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
He's a good football player.
Yes.
I'm suggesting he gets paid $13 million a year to work. Okay? There's a very few amount of people that have ever been able to do that.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm just saying I wouldn't pay $18 million for him to work.
So let's get to your topic today. That you guys were debating heavy apparently early this
afternoon.
There's
been a lot of debate.
By the way, it's literally almost the same debate we just had. But go ahead. Like,
well, it's
got to
be different.
It's a little bit different, but it was born out of this.
We want to make it a lot different. Yes, because if it's the same thing, then why would we ask people to listen?
Fair enough.
It's different. It's different.
But it was born out of the Josh Allen conversation. The conversation was basically, all right, so now you're looking at the Jaguars and you're upset about the season. But you got young pieces here. So if you had to rank them, who are your power ranked Jaguars from 5 to 1? Who are the 5 most important players on the team you'd build around? And what are you ranking them? And so I came into the office this morning while you guys were on the air, and I'm like, Travis Etienne, for me, number one on the team right now. Like, obviously the best player on the field on either side of the ball to me. And maybe you disagree. Maybe you think Tyson is up there, or maybe you think it is Josh Allen. Clearly, Casey, you don't. But that's where the debate started for us. So once I got past Travis Etienne, I said number two on my list, second most important player on the Jaguars, second best player on the Jaguars, Josh Allen.
Ain't no way.
Clearly you disagree.
And you're going to say Tyson Campbell?
I'm going to say Tyson Campbell's the best player on the team. Imagine if they didn't have Tyson Campbell. I want you to just think about that. Whoever plays the other side corner is burnt toast every play.
Well, not every play. That's unfair.
Most plays.
Actually, these last couple weeks, they held up okay. They just give up the big play.
I will say, and I did look up those numbers when Rasheem was on the phone. You had Herndon and Darius Williams both get targeted thrice and give up 2 catches. You had Tyson targeted 5 times, give up 2 catches. Tyson's 2 catches were 15 yards.
They only got targeted that much?
3 times on the ends, on the wide receiver.
Wow. I felt like it was maybe even more than that. But Tyson Campbell, you know, it's really good. Tyson Campbell's on the verge of stardom.
I think he's there. I think he's proven it consistently, week in, week out.
But here's the deal. ETN became a star yesterday.
He is a star. He is the guy. They're going to game plan for that guy.
And not only that, he became a star yesterday because he can get the ball in his hands and you can control it. Like, that's the problem with Tyson. Again, like, he only will make 3 plays in a game, potentially. You know, that's not enough. And by the way, he's doing his job on the other 62 plays.
Yeah, it's just, you know,
but you just can't make the impact. Like, you can make the impact from the running back position. And in a fantasy football world, Travis Etienne's going to gain so much more steam, you know? So I think it's an interesting question. I would say right now, Etienne, we don't know it. We're seeing it come to life. I think there's a lot more evidence on the Tyson Campbell front that he has played week in, week out, pretty damn good. He's given up a couple plays, but I mean, it's consistently good, and we've seen it build from last year good to right now. I do think Josh Allen is as impactful and still as good as in this top 5 conversation. I got to believe Brandon Sheriff's in this conversation.
I put him in my top 5.
But what about Jawan Taylor, guys? I mean, Jawan Taylor is arguably their best offensive lineman if you believe in the Pro Football Focus metrics and numbers. I don't know what he's rated, but he doesn't give up many pressures.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep it a buck with you. That's a good one, but I didn't put him in mine.
So if you want to know, he is their highest rated offensive lineman at a grade of 66, ranked 43rd out of all tackles. All right. Robinson at 65.6. He's the next best. 47th out of all tackles.
And no one else is crazy. If you ask this
47th?
Question, what's really weird is if you, sides. This would have been a very hard thing to do a month ago.
The top five.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you would have had so much competition. Like Devin Lloyd might have been like number two on your list.
And by the way, he's just outside my top five, by the way.
Devin Lloyd's in mine.
But to
Devin
your
Lloyd,
point.
I haven't heard his name in 2 weeks.
Well, he almost had a pick last week. But to your point that you just made about Brandon Scherff, like you got to put him in there. At least I think you do. So now you're talking about, you've already pretty much got your five there. Here's my issue with putting Tyson Campbell anywhere in the top two. Is like you don't get to have the impact enough.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, it's fair, but it doesn't. But he's great from a talent.
Let's see what happens on Sunday because he's going to be with Devontae Adams.
Yeah, that'll be a big test for him.
All right, but let me ask you this: over a full season, if you've got a hole, right, at that defensive edge, or you got a hole at the corner spot, which one is going to cost you more in games?
I think when you already have a hole in the other corner, you can't afford to have the other one.
Well, we've seen defensive fronts cover for bad corner play, right? But if you have one good corner, you're not stopping any, but you still have a whole other side of the field.
I'm going to give you two guys, by the way, that aren't far off this. Now, again, we're talking like right now. Yeah. We're not projecting.
Yes.
We're saying like who are the most impactful players right now for this football team?
Yes.
And I'm telling you, a guy who's coming on the last 2 weeks that I got my eyes on is 52. Devon Hamilton's been playing really good football. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering where this is going, but you notice him too?
Yeah.
I mean, he's really – I'm not putting him in my list. I'm just saying keep an eye on him because he's
–
when you talk about, like, stock price right now of these guys, you know, he's right up there. And I'll give you another one that people don't want to probably say that's played excellent football really all year, Rayshon Jenkins.
I tried to put him in mine, but it's just he's going to get – they're going to have to change the deal. For the future, right? They can't pay him that for next year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're going to move on, but they're getting really good play out of
him. He's playing well. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No doubt. I have Evan Engram in mind.
Yeah, I just don't see the impact enough.
He's been important this year, though, as like a Trevor safety blanket. Like, you could tell when he can't get to Zay or Kirk, he's looking at Engram across the middle almost every play now.
Should be looking at him maybe a little bit more. I like what Evan Engram's doing. I think if they didn't have Evan Engram, again, the numbers aren't going to jump out, right?
But this is literally what they brought him down here for.
If they didn't have this guy, I think it'd be a lot worse. I think if they tried to run what they had out there last year at tight end.
Oh, yeah.
I know you like Arnold, but, dude, it'd be horrible.
No, I agree. Listen, I think Ingram's been good. I think it's a little – I just don't know if he's doing enough to be
– I wouldn't put him in the top five, but he's certainly –
the bottom line is we're debating a guy who's getting 4 catches a game or 5 catches a game, and that's a little bit of a problem right now in Jacksonville. And the other part of the problem in this conversation is why you might try to get Devin Lloyd in there. The last 2 weeks, he's not. The $15 million guy, nobody put him in their list at Foye Aluakim. The number one overall pick this year, Trayvon Walker, nobody put him in the list. No. The number one overall pick last year, Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback, the most important position on the field, nobody's putting him in the list.
I've got him in my
Cam
list.
Cam Robinson, the $70 million guy or whatever, nobody's putting him in the list.
Not putting him in.
Christian Kirk, the $72 million guy, nobody's putting him on the list.
And that's why I have Engram in here instead of like a Christian Kirk, because you know from Engram you're getting 4 for $50.
Yeah, he wasn't brought in to do 10 for $90, although it would have been nice if he could.
Kirk, you might get 2 for $12.
The reality is you're only completing 20 passes a game. So if you're getting 4 of those from Engram, it's a pretty decent day.
It's there. But those guys have got to start. The guys that I just mentioned, and Josh, too. Like, Josh, I don't know. I wouldn't put him at top two the way he's playing right now. I'd still have him in my top five because I do think he is impacting more than people want to give him credit for. They just want more. Like, Trevor, you're not putting him in the conversation. Trevor, Kirk, Trayvon, Josh, if those four guys, Lloyd or Aluakim, I'll give you one more. Those five. You pick the last one, all right? I'll give you an option. Those five guys start playing consistently impactful, winning play football, this team wins. Because the rest is okay. Like, the rest is fine. But you can't play with, like, your quarterback being the 15th best guy on your football team. I'm not just talking on offense. That would be very disrespectful. But
total.
yesterday he played like the 15th.
You know who I don't have? You know who should be in here? Like real talk, Logan Cook.
Yeah, I know, but best we player. Know we all know Logan Cook's the best player on the football team. But I'm tired of that little funny joke. Okay, they've got enough good players now. They've got to play better. Again, this, the crazy part is if you have this conversation going into the Eagles game, we were talking about every guy in the team's freaking good.
Yeah. Or how about like three of the top five we would have named aren't even like in our top 10 at this point.
They need to make November back to that conversation. And again, I'm telling you, those five guys that I mentioned, they need to start really ramping up their game. And I could even take Josh out and say Aluikin and Devin Lloyd, Trayvon Walker. Now you're second. You're halfway through your rookie year. Like, let's go. We let you have time. Now go make some big plays and win a football game.
See, I think the Devin Lloyd, like, we saw it early, and it goes away for a little bit. Sure. You remember Tyson Campbell? We wanted to cut him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was talking more Trayvon Walker. Lloyd's had flashes. He's just got to be a little more consistent.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I didn't hear his name once yesterday.
You guys are really besmirching Devin Lloyd right now.
I have him on my list.
He loves him. Like, I
he's
like
fourth
Lloyd.
Fourth on my list.
But they brought him. He's a first-round pick.
He did. They jumped up to get him, yeah.
We'll be back on ESPN 690. All right, real quick, let's get to a couple things. Georgia Florida game.
Yeah, we got it in.
Yeah,
happened.
Georgia Bulldogs in Tennessee. What's your take on Georgia? See, I think Georgia won with its like B-ish, B-minus kind of game.
Yeah, I don't know. Stetson Bennett thought they played well.
Stetson Bennett almost got bad. I thought Carson Beck was coming in.
Yeah, that was a sketch for a minute there. I think it'll be a good football game. I think Tennessee's pretty good. They handled Kentucky. Georgia, I'm not worried about Georgia. I think they can turn it on when they need to. They have incredible playmakers. I think that's going to be a heck of a football game. I'll be locked in.
Has your final four changed at all over the last 3 weeks?
Yes. Tennessee's gone.
Instead of?
Either Georgia or Alabama.
Yeah, there you go. So which one?
I don't know. To be honest with you, if I had to pick right now, and I don't even know how this works out.
Say it out loud.
Alabama.
There it is.
I don't know how that happens.
Oh, boy. You say that three times into a mirror, the devil comes behind you and starts grabbing at you.
Yeah, I think the game could be really good. Listen, Stetson Bennett should have had about four or five passes picked off in that game.
Bro, and now you're sounding like the people on my Twitter mentioned.
I wonder if that's a little bit concerning for Georgia. I mean, he's a national championship guy, but, come on. I mean, there's some bad ones, man.
It's a bad game.
Maybe.
I want to just bring some light to this quickly. Georgia has a human being that is 6'7".
Yeah, it's amazing.
270 pounds.
He is huge.
And catches the football.
Yeah, he's big. And he wears number zero.
And he wears number zero.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Like a wrestler.
He is a big dude. Meanwhile, the Gators, see you later. See you next year. I mean,
Gators are not a good team.
I mean, just not good. But I give him credit for battling in that game and coming back. I think that's a good sign for Napier. They're just not good.
Yeah.
The gap is so, so large.
And apparently it was Brenton Cox's last football game.
Yeah, he dismissed from the team today.
It's a weird – you don't see that a lot.
But that's what shows he's more worried about the culture right now than the next four games.
Trying to turn the tide, yeah.
They got to win a couple to get to a bowl game. It was a good weekend in Jacksonville overall. Well, not really. I mean, Jags lost, and if you're a Gator fan, it wasn't weekend. Good for you. I mean,
the Dogs fans are good.
Yeah. Dogs fans, it was awesome. It was fun to be down there. All right. Aaron Schachter, Casey Kurtz, Brent Martin. We'll do it again tomorrow, 3 o'clock from Davoli's House of Cards. Overtime with Kurtz and Middleton coming up next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.